The coronavirus is bringing added economic challenges to small businesses across America.
I think both campaigns have acknowledged that, for instance, there are concerns that minority-owned small businesses had trouble accessing the Paycheck Protection Program.
We'll look at what the presidential candidates plan to do to help small firms. And Hollywood faces a new storyline as it produces during the pandemic. Scripts are adjusting and costs are rising. It's Wednesday, October 14th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Europe recently slightly overtook the U.S. in coronavirus cases on a per capita basis. I asked WSJ reporter Jason Douglas in London what's behind the increase.
So Europe was successful in bringing cases right down during the summer, but then as lockdowns eased, people went back to work, people went back to bars, people started traveling again, then the cases started to tick up. Adding to the problem is we're now getting into the fall in Europe. Temperatures are getting colder. People are moving indoors a lot more, and that gives the virus a lot more opportunities to spread. So it's a mix of those things, the reopening and then this kind of change in the season.
We also talked about where Europe may go from here.
Everyone is trying, hoping very much to avoid that you don't end up just with wards overflowing with people very sick with COVID, and then all sorts of other sick people can't get treated. So what we're beginning to see is a lot of countries are starting to impose new restrictions on work and daily life while avoiding full lockdowns in an attempt to get these case numbers down.
Meantime, in the U.S., we've seen hospitalizations hit a more than six-week high. The Supreme Court has approved Trump administration plans to end the 2020 census before an October 31st deadline. The numbers determine each state's seats in the House and votes in the Electoral College for the next decade, so the census is often a partisan battleground. The Trump administration pushed for ending the count earlier to get results in by a legal deadline of December 31st. Our reporter Paul Overberg explains why groups including the National Urban League and League of Women Voters sued.
The criticism is that unless you count every last person, typically the people who don't get counted at the end are the people who are the hardest to reach, who are often people of color, people living on Indian reservations, and people who are often important to capture for reasons of representation and federal funding.
Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett faces more questions in her confirmation hearings today. Both Republicans and Democrats have used their time to make political arguments. Capitol Hill reporter Siobhan Hughes explains why Democrats have been pushing hard on the Affordable Care Act.
The ACA is a big topic. Number one, it plays politically very well for Democrats. They flipped control of the House in 2018 by focusing on the need for health care for everybody. And Democrats are looking to run that same play again in 2020.
We'll have key moments from today's hearings on WSJ.com and our app. Looking at today's earnings calendar, once again, another big day for banks as Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo report their quarterly results. We'll also get a look at United Airlines earnings as carriers navigate the pandemic. A new International Monetary Fund report makes a change in its forecast of how damaging the coronavirus will be in the world's economy, and China is a big reason why. Markets editor Quinton Webb is in Hong Kong.
The headline, I suppose, is that actually things are not quite as bad as the IMF feared back in June. It was then forecasting that the world economy would shrink more than 5% this year. It has moderated that forecast now, so it's only expecting 4.4% contraction. Still, by any standards, a terrible kind of shock to the global economy, the worst since the Great Depression. And then beyond that headline, I guess there are three kind of important points to draw from the report. One is that, you know, China is really pulling away from the rest of the world. It's basically the only major economy that's likely to grow this year and next year. Second point I would say is that, you know, the IMF is strong in emphasizing how this pandemic has exacerbated various kinds of inequality. So it is an economic situation that has hit disproportionately women, people who work in the informal economy, and people with lower skill levels. So that is problematic. The third point they make is that, you know, governments and central banks have moved very, very decisively to kind of prop up the global economy. They need to keep that support at a high level in order to keep this, you know, long and uneven recovery on track.
Just ahead, small businesses have had to lay off employees, even close their doors during the pandemic. What solutions do the presidential candidates have to offer? We'll explain after the break. As Election Day quickly approaches, we want to return to our ongoing election series. We're taking a deep look at how President Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden differ on major policy issues. Today, we're going to focus on small business. The pandemic has been especially challenging for them. Thousands of firms have already been forced to close. Joining us now for a look at what the candidates say they will do is Journal Economics reporter Amara Omokwe. Hi, Amara.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So both candidates acknowledge some strength with the Paycheck Protection Program, but there are some distinct differences as far as involvement and approach. Let's first start with President Trump.
Yes. So the main thing President Trump has done is he's encouraged Congress to come together with the administration and reopen the Paycheck Protection Program. That program expired in August, and so small businesses have not been able to apply for it since then. So President Trump has signaled his support for reopening the Paycheck Protection Program with about $135 billion in funding. That was roughly the amount in unused funds that was left when the program closed.
And what about Joe Biden's view?
So former Vice President Biden has really emphasized what his campaign characterizes as shortcomings in the Paycheck Protection Program. And his platform calls for overhauling the program and doing things like including more oversight of the program and also a provision that would make it so that businesses with 50 employees or fewer would be guaranteed funding through the program if they are eligible for it. And some of the experts I spoke with said that that provision would be really important because when the Paycheck Protection Program first opened, a lot of businesses were initially unable to access the funds because the first round of funding quickly ran out.
Small businesses, whether they are in a pandemic or not, always face challenges. One particular difficulty can be getting assistance, even though there are programs available. What is Joe Biden's vision as far as accessibility is concerned?
So Joe Biden's platform proposes something that his campaign calls the Small Business Opportunity Fund. So this is a fund that would receive $30 billion in federal funding initially, and it would make investments. It would do things like direct $10 billion to state and local programs that provide the sort of venture capital that businesses need to start and businesses need to grow.
And the Trump platform on this?
Well, the Trump platform or pitch has really been sort of highlighting things that have been popular during his first term. So, for instance, he has talked about tax cuts and his administration implemented a tax deduction that lowers income tax bills for many small businesses. His campaign has also focused on sort of the deregulatory approach that the Trump administration has taken. And some small business advocates say that that deregulatory approach has really helped small businesses, given them less burdensome regulations to work with and basically taken away some uncertainty, and that has benefited them.
Within small businesses, I want to focus on minority-owned small businesses. This election is happening as the nation has an ongoing conversation about racial equality. What is the White House view as far as specifically helping minority-owned small businesses?
Well, what's really interesting is that this area is one where the Trump campaign and the Biden campaigns actually share some common ground. I think both campaigns have acknowledged that, for instance, there are concerns that minority-owned small businesses had trouble accessing the Paycheck Protection Program, or that minorities tend to have more hurdles to overcome when they want to start businesses because minority households tend to have less access to the kind of wealth that they use to finance small startups. And so the Trump campaign has proposed what it's calling its Platinum Plan for Black America. And in that plan, the campaign is proposing, for instance, giving more funding to these kinds of lenders called community development financial institutions. These are financial institutions that focus on lending and other financing to minority communities, rural communities, and other underserved communities.
And some specifics of a Biden plan?
So Mr. Biden proposes using that Small Business Opportunity Fund that we talked about earlier to, for instance, expand lending through state, local, and other programs that have had a successful track record of providing lending to minority-owned businesses. And his plan also calls for expanding lending through those community development financial institutions that we talked about.
Amara Omokwe covers economics for the Wall Street Journal. Amara, enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
If you want to know more about how the candidates differ on other major policy issues, we've got a special Election 2020 page on WSJ.com. And finally, in Hollywood, the pandemic is giving studios a reality check. Production is slowly resuming, but with lots of new rules to keep the coronavirus from spreading. That means you may see fewer fistfights and love scenes on your favorite shows, since putting actors in close contact is riskier. On set, big buffets are out. These days, it's a boxed lunch for one between scenes. According to our reporting, new testing and safety measures can add more than $300,000 per episode to the budget of a typical one-hour drama. Add that up across seasons and shows, and you have tens of millions in potential new expenses just to keep the pipeline of new shows going. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.